All right, our next item five is the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. My understanding is that we'll be joined today by Commissioners Yamamoto and Sweet, and that we also then will have a couple of other commissioners who have signed up to appear. If our logistics are working, we welcome Commissioners Yamamoto and Sweet at this time.
Well, this is Commissioner Sweet. David has asked me to start this off. My comments will be brief. The first thing I want to do is to thank the Oregon Department of Forestry personnel for their over-the-top effort to expedite salvage on last fall's fire catastrophes. By government standards, they've pulled off a miracle. Unfortunately, it's still not enough. I think we need somehow to develop emergency protocols for future fire losses. It looks as though fire is here to stay, and I don't know that we can continue in the future to sit in our lands and let millions of board feet go to waste. We talked about this at our trust land meeting, and we kind of came up with a mantra, and it simply was that more salvage sooner as opposed to less salvage later is the way we should be doing business. Trees are much like savings accounts. The earlier you start them, the bigger and better they get. David will talk more about the salvage issue. I'd like to talk again about some of our plans to withhold acreage from our county forest trust lands, from the harvest base. I talk about this a lot. I talk about the impact on rural communities. This is a that apparently hasn't resonated too well, so I got a new twist I want to try today. I look at lumber and plywood prices. They have tripled since a year ago. I have an article here in the magazine. I don't know if you can see it, but it indicates that the cost of lumber and plywood and other wood products have run the cost of a new home up $24,000 in the last year. I think that most people would agree that housing affordability is a national issue. Apparently, we've come out of our home building recession. Home starts have just recently reached the 1.5 million per year mark needed to keep up with population growth and attrition of old homes. If we build less than that, we're not keeping up. If we build more than that, we're borrowing from the future. 2012, we had only 600,000 building starts. Today, we're up to 1.5 million, a little bit more. It's putting a huge strain on the price of building materials. One of the biggest components, cost components of lumber and plywood, of course, is the raw material. And the more raw material we take out of our harvest base, the more the supply-demand relationship gets out of whack, and log prices and lumber and plywood prices go sky high. So I would like us to ask ourselves, maybe beg us to ask ourselves, if this is time to be taking a 300,000-acre chunk of land out of the harvest base of the county forest trust lands. And with that, I would like to turn this over to David Yamamoto. Thank you so much for your time and attention.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner Sweet. We appreciate that very much. Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the Board of Forestry. For the record, I am Tillamook County Commissioner David Yamamoto, chair of both the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties and Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I want to thank you so much today for the opportunity to address you. The 2020 Oregon wildfire season has been one of the most destructive on record. The fires killed at least 9 people, burned more than 1 million acres of land, and destroyed over 4,000 homes in 8 Oregon counties, with over 40,000 people evacuated. The Beechey Creek, Lion's Head, and Riverside fires alone burned over 500,000 acres. of which roughly 13,000 burned acres belong to the Santiam State Forest. Overall, this was a devastating forest fire year for Oregon, and our hearts go out to the families and communities impacted by the fires. I cannot say enough about the brave men and women of the Oregon Department of Forestry who placed their own lives on the line in order to save the lives of Oregonians and our state's visitors, along with their property and livelihoods. Viewing the destruction left behind and looking to the long and laborious process of rebuilding lives and dreams is a testament to the dedication and devotion of the men and women of the Oregon Department of Forestry and the devotion they have to Oregon's people, property, and way of life. We cannot prevent forest fires, but I do feel strongly that with proper forest management, we can make great strides in stopping forest fires from turning into conflagrations. But that's a topic for another day. Today, I want to speak to the department's North Cascade District draft implementation plan. Well, overall, I agree with the concepts presented in the draft implementation plan. There are areas of concern. My primary concern is ODF doing all it can to capture value as well as finance restoration to the greatest extent possible. From the public comments received, it is evident that there are many viewpoints pertaining to this draft implementation plan. Allow me to address some of the public comments received. The bulk of the comments received pertain to salvage logging. In opposition to salvage logging, critics have raised some spurious claims, such as salvage logging disturbs the natural reforestation process. Climate change is the reason to restrain or avoid salvage harvest. Carbon emissions and lost potential for carbon storage in naturally recovering forests, and concern about soil erosion and silt in waterways. It must be understood that the trees burned in the fire were either on land the counties deeded to the state or were planted by FDF monies derived from ODF harvest. Revenue from these trees was promised to the counties, and these trees should be salvaged to the greatest extent possible. Salvageable trees should not be left for some other purpose. Similarly, the burned area should be regenerated into healthy, productive forests as soon as possible. The current draft implementation plan considers salvage logging only 4,500 acres out of the 13,000 acres burned. While ODF is moving faster than ever before to get these sales out, they are behind the industry as a whole. Fortunately, ODF is being much more aggressive than the Bureau of Land Management or U.S. Forest Service. Salvage timber not harvested by early summer will likely suffer damage from beetles and stain and will bring lower value the longer it sits. ODF admits that the amount of charred wood and resulting merchantability is uncertain and is concerned about the private lands salvage harvest driving prices down while constricting available harvest crews. While private timberland owners are quickly salvage harvesting their own lands and sending logs to mill due to the unprecedented housing boom, which was just talked about by Commissioner Sweet, evident in many parts of the country, timber prices remain at near record levels. It is also important to note that harvest of salvage logs is an inherently dangerous task, even more so than standard logging practices. All of this begs the question, does ODF have a salvage policy in practice that helps recover value while regenerating state forest lands as quickly as possible to the benefit of both the trust counties and the Oregon Department of Forestry? As we look forward to updating the forest management plan, we should build these policies in so that we can react as quickly as possible when the next conflagration occurs. Trust counties and our special districts rely heavily on continuing timber harvest revenue to finance public safety, fire, schools, healthcare, ports, 911 centers, and many other issues are important to our residents. While ODF will soon be scrambling to find additional funding sources to close its own projected budget deficits. To those that feel that requiring burned lands to naturally regenerate, I would ask people to take a close look at the Tillamook State Forest. We have people today wanting to stop all logging in the Tillamook State Forest, as it's an example of a beautiful, pristine forest, to which I agree. But these people have failed to look at the history of this forest and what is referred to as the Big Burn, which devastated this area in a series of huge conflagrations in the 1930s until the early 1950s. Over a period of 20 years, a series of three conflagrations burned over 750,000 acres of old growth timber. While the science of reforestation and young stand management was not well understood at the time, hundreds of school-aged children from across Oregon, local residents, as well as people from across the state were recruited and transported into these burned over areas and replanted huge swaths of what is now the Tillamook State Forest. It is estimated that over 72 million seedlings were replanted, which is now mature working timberland, bringing timber revenue and family wage jobs to Tillamook County. This is perhaps the earliest and largest reforestation project ever taken in the Pacific Northwest. And when viewed now, some 60 to 70 years later, it is truly a remarkable achievement. Oregon Governor Tom McCall, marking an end to reforestation, a reforestation of the burned over area, helped to write the closing chapter of the Tillamook Burn story when he visited in June of 1973. He told a gathered crowd of tree planters, foresters, and dignitaries that from that point forward, the Tillamook Burn was to be known as the Tillamook State Forest. Additionally, requiring a natural reforestation process results in leaving a huge fuel load in the form of partially burned timber, while at the same time allowing scrub and undergrowth to outcompete natural seedlings. This leads to a situation where continuous fire danger due to increased fuel load remains ever present. From a county health and safety perspective, salvage harvesting to minimize fuel load and replanting and restoration to protect roads and waterways is a primary objective of the trust counties. I would also like to address the issue of modern forest access road and the danger of erosion and silt in waterways. ODF has done an admirable job of assessing almost 200 miles of road within the fire perimeter. There is much work to be done to address culverts, danger trees, roadbed repair, and bank stabilization. Recent studies have shown that modern forest road building does not lead to excess silt and debris in our waterways, and a lack of roads in our forests does not allow access to fire equipment and manpower needed to quickly knock down the next fire. I also need to address the issues around carbon sequestration. Oregon is blessed with the world's premier carbon sequestration engine, our magnificent forests. A recent publication by the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the study team of USDA Forest Service scientists states, and I quote, "Forest and harvested wood products annually offset the equivalent of more than 14% of economy-wide carbon dioxide emissions in the nation," unquote. When we harvest timber to produce wood products, those finished wood products continue to hold sequestered carbon. We then go back and replant, which produces a rapid uptake of carbon as the trees reach for the stars. As a forest matures, the uptake of carbon slows, and we go in and harvest again, produce finished wood products for our homes and businesses, replant, and the carbon sequestration process starts all over again. This process is interrupted when conflagrations burn a forest to the ground, releasing carbon into the environment as heat and smoke. Additionally, the USDA Forest Service in the journal Scientific Reports states, and I quote, the accumulation of carbon stored in U.S. forests may slow in the future, primarily due to land use change and forest aging, unquote. It goes without saying that the Trust Counties appreciate the great working relationship we have with ODF and the Board of Forestry. While we may not agree on all aspects of the North Cascade District draft implementation plan, its development needed to occur quickly, and now its implementation needs to occur even more rapidly. As I've said before, we will continue to find areas of disagreement, but it is my hope that we will always find ways to remain engaged. Thank you for this opportunity to address you this afternoon, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, so Commissioners Cameron and Nyquist will move to you in that order.
Hey, this is Roger Nyquist. If it's okay, I'll go first here.
This is Commissioner Cameron. I'll yield to Commissioner Nyquist.
Okay, got that.
This is Commissioner Nyquist. Can you hear me okay?
Commissioner Nyquist, unfortunately, we're unable to hear you. Can you go check ahead. Your audio?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Commissioner Nyquist, unfortunately, you're very quiet on our end. So could Commissioner Cameron?
Any better now?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. So from my perspective, counties have a financial interest in every one of those trees that could be salvaged that otherwise are going to die. We need the money. Our communities need the jobs to rebuild. But in large part for me, having seen the consequences and lived through this thing, we all have an obligation to do everything we can to keep that from happening again in the way of the fires that happened September 8th up the canyon. It touches me in that there was a 12-year-old boy that died up there on the North Fork, he and his dog. I happen to have a son that's 12. And knowing that boy, that young man, will never get to experience life in a way that we have, that I hope my kid can, it's hard. It's hard stuff for everybody. And I just think we have a duty to do everything we can to keep that from happening again. And that includes cleaning up future fuels that would allow for this and enhance a fire like this to happen again. It's concerning to me that the volume that's out there that was burned, some 24,000 acres, I think, if I have that right, and what's scheduled for salvage logging is just a fraction of that, a few thousand acres, as I understand that. And I'm not here to cast stones or whine or complain. If there's our partnership needs to take a different direction or. Let's talk about that, but let's do everything we can to collectively to not have happen what we all experienced on September 8th. And with that, I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for your work. And I would defer to Commissioner Cameron at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
too. Chair Imeson, members of the board, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, just thank you for your service to our state and for what you do in this important area today. I want to just follow up on Commissioner Nyquist, a few things that first off, my personal testimony is that I was one of those victims. I am a resident of Detroit. I left actually it was September 8th at 1:30 a.m. And drove through fire to get safely into the valley. It's an experience I never want to personally have happen to me again. And we did lose five lives, unfortunately. One of those that Commissioner Nyquist just mentioned. However, this canyon has been devastated over many years. Many things have happened in the canyon, and they've tried to recover to a new norm. And this fire was just one more setback, but I know the people are determined. They're Oregonians at heart, they're rural Oregonians, and they're going to come back stronger. It's just going to take a long time. The revenue that the counties need from our state forest trust lands is important to us, especially during these difficult times, as we find resources to try to help them rebuild these homes, the infrastructure, and the other important things that need investments to make sure they come back. The jobs for the people that have been impacted from this fire, that the harvest happens and provides those jobs in the canyon, is extremely important. And I think it's already been mentioned, the raw materials that are needed to process and provide the materials needed to do the rebuild in the canyon, our own assets here in the state of Oregon, to be used to help drive potentially those prices back down and add to the supply, are important. And harvesting when raw materials are at an all-time high would bring revenues in. And then the last thing I would highlight, I'm going to highlight the health and safety of our people and our environment in the long term. Obviously, you've heard detailed testimony in those areas. So I just want to challenge the small amount that has been set aside for harvesting and ask that you would consider a larger amount of those 24,000 acres that have been burned for all the reasons that have been stated before me. And I want to thank you for your service and the opportunity to be before you today.
Thank you. We'll now take a brief break, right, so that we can get things set up for the next panel. So 5 minutes or so. Okay, thank you. So stay with us.